You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 20th, 2020, and that Diamond Princess cruise ship that's been in port in Yokohama since January the 20th, when it left with 2,600 passengers on board, ready to go on their trip, and then they realize it's coronavirus is on board, they quarantine the ship. Now comes word that among the quarantined passengers, 620 cases of the virus, and two of the cruise passengers, an 87-year-old man and an 84-year-old woman, have now died from the coronavirus. That's in Japan. What does China, since that's where this outbreak supposedly started, what is China possibly hiding from us regarding coronavirus? We're going to get into that a little bit later in this hour. As I reported earlier for you, and you just heard on the network news, Roger Stone now sentenced to more than 3 years in prison, 40 months, far short of the 8 to 9 years the DOJ prosecutors were trying to hammer him with, the judge making her own decision, and no, not because President Trump said anything or the attorney general or four of the prosecutors resigned. The judge made the decision. The judge stating Mr. Stone lied, and that was it. She gave Stone a chance to speak. He refused. President Trump is naming Ambassador Richard Grenell as his new acting director of national intelligence. That is going to make Grenell the first openly gay cabinet member in a GOP administration in the history of the country. Do you see the mainstream media pointing out this story, talking about that the president has nominated an openly gay cabinet member? That would not fit their narrative about how Trump is homophobic, would it? By the way, his average job approval rating just hit its highest number since his inauguration more than 3 years ago. The Real Clear Politics poll of polls shows his rating at 46%. And the last time he was at 46%, just a couple of weeks after he was sworn in. Hey, are you looking for a job? This is interesting. The Census Bureau needs help. They need to hire 500,000 temporary workers for this year's count. See, they've sent out by email and every other options to have folks reply to a census. But at some point, they have to go door-to-door because only 60% might respond by phone, online, or by mail. So they need to go check on the other 40%. And they need to do it between May and July. So they'll be looking to hire, at least for a couple of months, 500,000 workers. St. Francis County, Missouri, an illegal alien, now charged with raping a 13-year-old girl and intimidating witnesses who were going to testify against him. 38-year-old illegal. Yes, he's innocent at this point, but he's illegal and in the country. And if he weren't here, there might not be such a crime against that child. So a Cleveland Browns player, Gregory Robinson, rents a car. And somewhere along the line, police got suspicious about this vehicle. And patrol canine units came in, and they got more suspicious. And that's when they found 157 pounds of marijuana inside several large duffel bags in the rear cargo area. Apparently, he had rented a car and arranged for an Uber driver to then drive him to Louisiana. And somewhere along the line, he got caught before he got in the Uber car. I guess he could say, Hey, it's not my car. I just rented it. Got a major winter storm stretching across the south. Could mean dangerous conditions for drivers. Victoria's Secret is going private. It's going to go unavailable for the stock market. I'm sorry, no, it's going private. It's been on stock market. They say it's worth only $1.1 billion. Victoria's Secret, I would have thought it worth a lot more than that, wouldn't you? But it's only worth $1.1 billion. Well, let me reconsider. When you consider how skinny some of those things are they sell, and see-through and lacy, and there's not a lot of material there, maybe it shouldn't be worth more than that. But then, of course, I'm not buying the company, Victoria's Secret.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C., but soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison, so Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We could wake up 2 weeks from today, the day after Super Tuesday, and the only candidates left standing will be Bernie Sanders and Mike Bloomberg, the two most polarizing figures on this stage. And most Americans don't see where they fit if they've got to choose between a socialist who thinks that capitalism is the root of all evil and a billionaire who thinks that money ought to be the root of all power. Let's put forward somebody who actually lives and works in a middle-class neighborhood in an industrial Midwestern city. Let's put forward somebody who's actually a Democrat. Look.
That's Pete Buttigieg last night at the Democrat debate. I won't give him credit for that. Hey, it's a Democrat primary. Let's put together and put forward a Democrat, not one of these guys, not a socialist, not a rich guy who wants to control everything. It went over well, as you can tell. And speaking of Bloomberg being out of touch, he declared at one point that transgender ideology is not popular in the Midwest. In fact, here's the remark he made in 2019 during an interview in Bermuda, far, far away from what happened last night and far, far away from him at that point thinking maybe he's going to run. But in a relaxed interview in Bermuda, he kind of said, hey, if your conversation during a presidential election about some guy wearing a dress and whether he, she, or it can go to the locker room with their daughter, that's not a winning formula for most people. Well, of course, pro-transgender groups angrily slamming Bloomberg, saying it's transphobic, appalling, demand he apologize. He insists he's a progressive candidate for the White House who promises to fully implement the transgender ideology, even if he recognizes it's unpopular. But his statement is probably correct when it comes to the general Midwest idea that it's not popular to think of transgenders as acceptable. And I don't mean just for those who maybe are locked down on anti-gay to any extent. I'm talking about, for instance, young women. Young women competing, trying to win a scholarship, working their tails off for years, trying to get fast enough, strong enough to do whatever they could in sports to get a scholarship. And here comes some guy who's decided now he wants to compete among the women and goes transgender and ends up not only beating and collecting records, but taking scholarships they could have had. So that's a legitimate issue. And Buttigieg is gay. And I will remind you, in case you missed it in the news a moment ago, President Trump has now nominated Richard Grenell as a cabinet member. He's an openly gay man. Had not seen anything picked up by the mainstream media on that. But back to the debate last night, Bloomberg decided, you know, here's Bernie trying to claim, I'm socialist, and socialist kind of communal farms, everything's common property, everything. So Bloomberg thought, let me go after Bernie.
What a wonderful country we have. The best known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What'd I miss here?
Well, you'll miss that I work in Washington, House 1.
That's the first problem.
Live in Burlington, House 2.
That's good.
And like thousands of other Vermonters, I do have a subaccount. Forgive me for that. But where is your home? Which tax haven
New
do you
York,
have your home?
New York City, thank you very much. Yeah, well, and I pay all my taxes. And I'm happy to do it because I get something for it.
Yeah, you get something for it. I wonder how many other New Yorkers say I really get something for my taxpayers' money. But what they're paying compared to what Bloomberg does, of course, yeah, his relative references amount would be maybe comparable to the average citizen. Not likely. As he points out, I can't TurboTax my federal income tax. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. That's why I haven't presented it. Everybody's saying, where is your tax return? I say, well, I can't put it on TurboTax, you know. It's very big and extensive. Yes, Donald Trump still continues to hold out his. He never gave it, claimed that it was under audit. And I chastised him on that, said, I still say you could have released it. But after the witch hunt and everything else, I thought, I could care less. Don't release it. Just don't. It's not a requirement, other than what the candidates put on you. So if Bloomberg's going to attack Bernie and his socialist wealth, Bernie said the green light's on for me to go after Bloomberg.
If speaking to the needs and the pain of a long-neglected working class is polarizing, I think you got the wrong word. What we are trying finally to do is to give a voice to people who, after 45 years of work, are not making a nickel more than they did 45 years ago. We are giving a voice to people who are saying we are sick and tired of billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg seeing huge expansions of their wealth while a half a million people sleep out on the street tonight. And that's what we are saying, Pete, is maybe it's a time for the working class of this country to have a little bit of power in Washington rather than your billionaire campaign.
Ah, there you go. Back in your face. He kind of rolled Pete Buttigieg into that as well, but his target was Bloomberg. And Bloomberg has spent, at last report, $400 million of his own money. Of his own money. You know, I've been watching. I had mentioned to you previously, I did not get to see it when it first aired, because I was in TV and I was working at those hours. But a program called West Wing. And I wouldn't have watched it anyway because I would have thought it's probably a very liberal approach on politics inside the White House. It's actually not. Actually, it's very well written. And it is kind of a JFK-type White House to the extent of, certainly by today's standards, very moderate. And always looking at the other side and realizing the difficulties in getting some people to change, but not some of the stuff we see going on now. And within that context of how much money is being raised and so forth, one of the candidates, Jimmy Smith, now looking to run for president in the TV series, is considering loaning to his campaign. He needs more money for a race in Texas. He doesn't have it. They don't think they can raise it. They say it could be $300,000, $400,000. He says, well, can we borrow it? They said, no, that'd be against the rules. You can't do that. He said, but I can loan it myself out of my money. Yeah. He said, so maybe I'll put my house mortgage up. Bloomberg, all the money he's thrown at his own campaign, he's got a lot more, my friend. He's the eighth richest man in the world. He spent $400 million already, and we're not even to Super Tuesday, and we got more to go. Which brings us to another thing he's been doing. A Wall Street Journal report claims that Bloomberg has been hiring hundreds of workers in California to push his messages across social media. It's an article titled, Bloomberg Bankrolls a Social Media Army to Push the Message. Folks are simply being hired. Hey, at your house, get on your personal Facebook and contacts with all your friends and say, I'm supporting Michael Bloomberg. Why don't you join me? And supposedly, they're hiring 500 deputy digital organizers working 20 to 30 hours a week, getting $2,500 a month. All they have to do is promote Bloomberg to everyone in their phone's contacts by text each week, make social media posts to them. By God, that explains. I got another one the other day. Where is this thing? I just got one again the other day. I thought, who would this be? No, listen, let me see. It's one of these numbers pop up, and I have no idea who it is. And it goes on. I told you about one that was from a guy named Bob or whatever. This one coming in was a woman's voice and saying, hey, I'm supporting Michael Bloomberg, won't you? That person's earning money while they're sending that to me. Well, good for them. It's not illegal. Now, last night also we had Buttigieg go after Klobuchar because here's what happened. Klobuchar had been asked at one point, can you tell us the name of the Mexican president? And she drew a blank, couldn't do it. Buttigieg can. Of course, he speaks Spanish as well. And here's where it went.
I said that I made an error.
You're on the committee that oversees border security. You're on the committee that does trade. You're literally in part of the committee that's overseeing these things. And we're not able to speak to literally the first thing about the politics of the country to ourselves.
Are you trying to say that I'm dumb? Or are you mocking me here, Pete? I am the one, not you, that has won statewide in congressional district after congressional district. And I will say, when you tried in Indiana, Pete, to run, what happened to you? You lost by over 20 points.
Aha. Back in your face there, Pete. But I love that one thing. Are you trying to say I'm dumb? You should be very careful there. Because anything he would have said, yes, that would be an attack upon a woman. He said no, but that would have been an attack upon the woman. So, as you heard, no response. Another issue that we've been seeing with this campaign, and it is true that mostly it comes out of the Sanders supporters. They've already made it clear. Some of their folks have said, if we do not win in Milwaukee, if this election is stolen from Bernie Sanders, as it was last time with Hillary Clinton, there'll be hell to pay. And they're looking at maybe rioting at the Milwaukee convention and in Milwaukee, torching the place. And on top of that, at some of the rallies and so forth, there's been violence and threats of violence. Senator Sanders insists, I'm not part of that. I'm not doing it. But again, on the debate stage last night, the challenge was, well, here we go. Just listen.
Our campaign is about issues. It's about fighting for the working families and the middle class. It is not about vicious attacks on other people.
Senator, when you say that you disown these attacks and you didn't personally direct them, I believe you.
Well, thank you.
But at a certain point, you got to ask yourself, why did this pattern arise? Why is it especially the case among your supporters?
Why especially among your supporters? Well, of course, we have to keep in mind, and this is something I would give Bernie credit for, that the mainstream media would never, never, never do for Trump. If some of his people are getting out of line and doing things they shouldn't, unless you have a clear evidence direction from him, go do this, cause havoc, chaos, vandalism, and so forth, you can't hold him accountable. He's a candidate, but a lot of people are doing things and they think it would help him when in fact it hurts him. But the same could be applied to Donald Trump, but you never get that pass from the mainstream media. If anyone wearing a Trump hat or is a Trump supporter does anything of vile or vicious or attacking, Trump told them to do it. Dog whistle, get them in there. Oh, speaking of fighting, this Saturday, when they're having the Nevada caucus in Las Vegas, they are having the rematch, the WBC heavyweight champion, the bronze bomber Wilder, and Tyson the Gypsy King Fury. That would be really good. And it's just coinciding with the Democrat caucus battle that same date. Oh, and by the way, last night, one of the members of the press moderator got a chance to slip in the fact that we have global warming affecting the very city where we're holding this debate, trying to get the candidates to jump in on that little subject as if the whole world and you in particular are worried about global warming in Las Vegas. I'll explain when we continue.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One of my favorite songs by War. I like to listen to that while I'm playing poker. Low rider. People look at me and say, "Are you singing?" Yeah. Stop it. Why? Is it bothering you? Yeah. Then I'm going to get louder. Anything you can to throw the other player off a bit. So last night in the 2020 Democrat presidential primary, a moderator for NBC News on this debate thing tried to stir up the climate change argument. Here's the statement to the candidates. What you might not know is that Las Vegas and Reno are the vibrant economic engines for the state of Nevada and are also two of the fastest warming cities in the country. In certain months of the year, the heat is already an emergency situation for residents and for tourists walking up and down the strip. In other words, climate change, earth warming, what's your reaction? What? The population of Las Vegas and Reno have certainly boomed since 1990. In Las Vegas, the population 30 years ago was 260,000. That's pretty hard to imagine. 260,000 30 years ago. I was in Vegas 30 plus years ago, you know, in and out, but it seemed really populated then. Of course, we've had a lot of change. And there's no casino that existed 30 years ago that's still standing. And today, the Las Vegas population has grown to nearly, 642,000 residents. A 143% increase since 1990. Well, it's understandable. I mean, look at all the new tourism, the new facilities, new hotels. The population of Reno, 1990, 135,000. Today, nearly 250,000. An increase of about 80%, 85% in 30 years. So the population has been growing. But for this guy to point out to the panel in the debate last night you might not know is that Las Vegas and Reno are the vibrant economic engines for the state of Nevada. In other words, suggesting it's important that they survive. And they're also two of the fastest warming cities in the country. And in certain months of the year, the heat is already an emergency situation for residents and tourists walking up and down the strip. Riddle me this. Have you been to Vegas, say, in April through August, September, October? There are a lot of misters at places. You're walking by, you try to catch a little mist or whatever. And yeah, it's uncomfortable maybe. It's a dry heat. I don't care. You're inside an oven, it's still dry, and it's hot as it can be. But what gets me, you're suggesting this is climate change? Look at the calendar, you idiot. It's summer in the desert. What do you expect? Now, when you're getting snowfall constantly in Las Vegas in August and July, then I'll get concerned about climate change. What is China hiding from us, reference coronavirus? Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
You ain't nothing but a hound. It's Snoopy Llama Dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's Snoopy Llama Dog. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Coming up before we wrap up this hour, laws that criminals love. And someone throws the race card at President Trump. He throws it right back. You want to hear that story. Oh, and I got to tell you, I got to bring you up to date on this. I found it. I told you earlier that how the Wall Street Journal had documented that Michael Bloomberg has teams hiring hundreds of workers to post personal social media accounts to support Bloomberg. Now, this apparently is being done only in California, but when you go social media, you don't know when or where it's going to go, and they apparently are paying something like at least 500 folks to work 20 to 30 hours a week for $2,500 a month, and all they have to do is contact everyone in their phone's contacts by text each week and make social media posts supporting Michael Bloomberg. And I got another one. I got another one right here in front of me. Hi. I am Alexis from, I don't know who Alexis is, but I guess I'm supposed to. Hi, I'm Alexis from Mike Bloomberg's campaign. With so much at stake, Americans deserve a Democrat candidate who can beat Donald Trump. Will you support Mike? I'm thinking, give me a moment here. Should I reply and say yes, or maybe I should say, tell me where to send money. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to text back and then see if we get any response before we wrap up the program. Tell me where to send money. And let's see if what we get. Two can play this game, Michael Bloomberg. All right. Let's get something more serious for a moment. The coronavirus. the numbers are all over the board, and we're not sure what's true and what's not. And therein lies a very big, legitimate concern. Death count, I don't know what the latest death count is. The latest I saw was more than 1,000 confirmed. No, 2,000. I meant 2,000. And thousands more sick. And it's spread all around the globe. I don't know what they're actually calling it, a pandemic yet. Pandemic would be spread beyond an immediate region, epidemic confined to one region, originating in China, but it's elsewhere. And, of course, I'd mentioned earlier news and commentary, that cruise ship, the Diamond Princess, it's been docked at Japan when they realized it came out of China and there might have folks on board with the virus. And, in fact, out of the 3,700 quarantined passengers and crew, 600 cases of the virus identified, and now report that two passengers, an 87-year-old man and an 84-year-old woman, don't know if they're related, died from coronavirus, and they were on board. The Epoch Times is reporting that China is now doing what it can to kind of do reverse of what Michael Bloomberg is with the Internet, is engaging more than 1,600 censors to scrub any material on the Internet regarding sensitive information regarding the coronavirus outbreak. This because the Chinese communist leader, Xi Jinping, apparently emerging from seclusion and asserting, I am in control, don't worry, I'm in control. Well, apparently the Epoch Times got an internal memo drafted the 15th of this month, 5 days ago, from officials at the Hubei province, the epicenter. And these folks were alarmed by criticism of the government, persistent speculation the number of people sickened and killed was much higher than China was admitting. So, as they call them, China's infamous 50-cent army of online trolls, they're getting 50 cents to do this, I guess, where Bloomberg is paying his folks $2,500 a month. But, hey, it's China versus here. Anyway, they're have them going on to wipe out any social media post dealing with anything that makes China look bad or anything about the coronavirus unless it's talking about great things are being done by our leader. So they're wiping out a lot of it, trying to make it disappear, at least on the Internet. If they could be that easily done to control the actual spread, that'd be pretty good. Now, the World Health Organization has been careful to avoid antagonizing China and doesn't really like what they're being told or not being told, but they're trying to be optimistic. But the Wall Street Journal had three journalists expelled yesterday because an article not written by any of these three journalists, but apparently an editorial in the paper itself that Beijing was racist. Now, with that in mind, the China state-run media launched an all-out offensive against the U.S., against us, claiming that we're not doing enough to help. At the same time, condemning us as racist because we're not helping at all. Well, which is it? It's both ways, in their view. They're suggesting that the U.S. has taken advantage of this epidemic to slander the Chinese government and attack China's political system. The People's Daily talked about how the U.S. handled H1N1 virus back in 2009, stating the U.S. Center for Disease Control estimating 60 million Americans contracted H1N1. And the virus led to more than 12,000 deaths in a population of 300 million, hardly on par with the medical standards of a developed nation. In other words, see, you guys weren't doing so well either. And then states, well, at least they did declare it a public emergency. But the government did not take enough measures to control it. So they're attacking us for not doing enough to help them in China, at the same time saying that what we're trying to do is make them look bad. And they're saying, listen, this influenza doesn't kill more than the general flu. And then talked about how we failed a disaster response to Hurricane Katrina in 2005. They're all over the board on this, doing what they can. And inside that country, that's the party line, and you follow the party line. So they're trying to say that the U.S. is racist and not doing enough. And now one of the latest reports of a tragedy that apparently has been verified, a Chinese film director and his entire family in the city of Wuhan were wiped out by the virus. The guy's 55 years old. He lived long enough to see his father and mother die first. Then he wrote a letter to friends that said, "Farewell to those I love and those who love me." Reportedly, this is a report because there's no verification, 10% of the Chinese population is currently under some form of quarantine or lockdown. 10% of the Chinese population. So in this country, if 10% of the population, you'd be looking at 360,000 Americans locked down in their homes, not allowed to go anywhere. And even if the folks can get out of their homes in China to go somewhere to try to buy something for food, the stores aren't open. No one's there to populate them. And if they're there, the shelves are bare. No one can bring more food or anything in. And there have been reports that some citizens have been locked inside their own homes, so they can't get out. Their doors welded shut. That's in China. We don't know how bad it is and what's going on. And the same is for neighboring North Korea. North Korea has issued a warning of harsh penalties, including execution, regarding anyone coming from China into North Korea. They often have a lot of smuggling and the black market between the two countries, especially getting items into Pyongyang, of course, North Korea, because it's under so many sanctions. And they know that the smuggling goes on, and they kind of accept it and use what they can of it. But now, since this virus has been spreading, North Korea is concerned about anyone coming from China. And North Korean state media insist, "We have zero cases of infection in our country. Zero. No infections, no fatalities." South Korea doubts that, says, "We believe they have numerous infections and they have had fatalities." And it is true, according to Radio Free Asia. Sources in the country say that residents think that the decree to execute anyone crossing the border is absurd because smuggling is important to the livelihoods of many living near the Sino-Korean border. So that's probably going to continue. And if it continues, you know there's disease in China and probably spreading into North Korea. I don't know when we're going to get a real true story of how bad it is in either one of those countries. And is enough being done in those countries? That's going to be a frightening scenario. We're far from done with it at this point. And U.S. experts have said this disease could be with us for some time to come. We'll take a break. When we come back, let me tell you about criminals who love some of the laws. They love the law. Yeah, they stand on the law. I like the law. I love the law. And then the race card thrown at President Trump, who promptly throws it back.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So for those of you who think crime doesn't pay, considering just consider what's happening in New York. New York eliminated bail for charges such as second-degree manslaughter, aggravated vehicular assault, third-degree assault, promoting an obscene sexual performance by a child, in other words, sexually abusing a child, criminally negligent homicide, aggravated vehicular assault. I think I already mentioned, but any of those, there's no bail. You just show up, they charge you and say, okay, you're free to go, no bail, just show up, will you? Will you show up? We're not asking you bail or holding any money, we just count you'll show up. So yesterday in Troy, New York, police had to deal with this bail reform law as passed by Democrats across the state of New York and signed and encouraged by Governor Andrew Cuomo, Democrat. This is a guy that has a 50-page long criminal record. 50-page. He was arrested early in the morning, charged with shoplifting. Rather than keeping him in jail on bail, he got released with a note to appear in court at a later date for the charge. 6 hours later, the same day, arrested for assaulting a man. He's arrested again and freed again. 2 hours after that, arrested a third time in 7 hours for hitting someone with a brick. Three times. Picked up and arrested. No bail. Oh, they love the New York law. I already told you about this guy the other day, and he's back in the news. This is a guy that, 56 years old, the other day when he was leaving the jail and no bail posted, some of them asked, say, hey, how do you like it? Because at that point, he'd been arrested for about 137th time. And he said, I want to thank Democrats. He said, I'm famous. I take $200, $300 a day of your money, cracker. You can't stop me. Bail reform, it's lit. It's the Democrats. Democrats know me. Republicans fear me. You can't touch me. I can't be stopped. It's a great, beautiful thing. He's been arrested 7 times now in New York City since Cuomo signed the bail reform law, and each time almost immediately released from jail. He has 6 felony convictions previously, 87 misdemeanor convictions, but none of that can come in play with a judge, according to these new laws. And he just got released again for the 140th time. He was charged with something, but now set free, no bail. That's what you've got going on in New York. And you can say, well, it doesn't affect me. It does. If you go to New York, you have business in New York, you have friends, relatives going up there for trips. Keep that in mind. So President Trump, of course, announcing a commutation of sentence for former Illinois Governor Blagojevich yesterday, and also a pardon for former Police Commissioner Carrick. He also gave a commutation or pardon for financier Michael Milken. And Chelsea Handler, entertainer, comedian, whatever she wants to call herself, says this president is racist. While our president exonerates criminals and releases them from jail, notice what color they are. Trying to say he was doing it all for white people. Well, one of those granted clemency, Angela Stanton King, serving time in 2007 or since 2007 for her role in a theft, wrote, Chelsea, I'm black. And also a 36-year-old mother serving almost 14 years of an 18-year sentence because her apartment was being used to distribute drugs. She got released by President Trump. She's black. And another black woman who spent 12 years in prison after being convicted on marijuana charges, also released by Alice Marie Johnson, who had pled to Trump to let her go, and he had in turn, Trump let Alice Marie Johnson go following requests from Kim Kardashian. And, of course, it is Trump who has promoted jail reform. No president has done that. It's Trump. So, Chelsea Handler, you and your race card, back at you, babe. There was no racism. They were looking at the cases. All right, let's update for you. I told you I had a text earlier from some of these trolls for Michael Bloomberg that are apparently being paid $2,500 a month to send out texts and contacts to anyone on their list or probably anyone who's on a friends list. I had one the other day from a guy named Mike. I thought, who is this? And I got one today. Hi, I'm Alexis from Mike Bloomberg's campaign. So much is at stake. Who can beat Donald Trump? Will you support Mike? And I told you a moment ago I'm going to send out a text. I did 20 minutes ago. I said, tell me where to send money. Crickets. No response. We'll see. Maybe it'll pop up tomorrow or later. But I can't wait to send Michael Bloomberg money. Right. Yeah. Go ahead. Ask me. Just sit there and wait for it to come. Good luck with that. Let your friends and neighbors and your enemies know we're on the air. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.